Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Incredibly blessed, brother.
Also with us today is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
Praising the Lord.
Well, praise God. We are so excited for today. It's going to be a little bit different for you guys today. It's usually just Tony, Joe, and myself talking about different topics that are burning on our heart or topics that you guys send us. But today, we are so blessed. And I think a lot of this doing actually is more from Tony than anybody, because Tony's been telling us we have to interview my friend Dave. We have to interview him. And I'm so excited for you guys to get to know a little bit, for you guys to hear from a brother in Christ. This brother is not only an author, he's also a radio show host. He also, guys, he's even an associate pastor, I believe, as well. So he has a full course meal of ministry that he's been doing, guys. And I want to throw out a few of the things that he's already put out there. All right. As I mentioned, he's an author for three different books. One is called Eradicate. The other is called The Cost of Our Silence. And his newest one is called Redefining Truth. We're going to be talking a little bit about that book and to give you guys a little bit of a taste of it even. And so you guys can hear just a small little quotation. Hopefully you have Dave talk a little bit about those things. Also, you can find any of these books at davidfiorazzo.com. You can also catch him on the Freedom Project, or just freedomproject.com/Christ/culture. And David does a feature once a week over there. So guys, check that out. As you guys probably are already telling, he has the same heartbeat as us when it comes to getting out there and telling people and warning people about the culture and also telling people about the love of Jesus. So Dave, we are so excited to have you, bro. Praise God.
Hey, God bless you guys. Thank you so much. It's a blessing to be able to be with you today.
Great to have you, bro. Hey, man, it's weird being on the other side of the mic where I get to ask the questions instead of you do.
I know. I got to have you back on Stand Up for the Truth soon, Pastor Joe. Hey, so let's book that.
That's awesome. That's been a blessing. But you know what? You know what? I feel way more at peace. It's a lot easier being on the end of the mic where you're asking the questions, you know, because you don't feel not in the hot seat, bro. So I'm like, wow, yeah, man, these are going to be like two relaxed shows, you know? Just got to pray and ask the right questions and let Dave go for it. But we probably, you know how careful we are. We wouldn't have a whole lot of people on the other side of the mic here unless we, you know, believe their testimony and that their sincerity and love for truth and that they were getting truth out there. So we praise God for that. How's the weather in Wisconsin, bro?
It would be this day that we're talking to you. It's going to be in single digits overnight tonight. But at least the sun was shining today.
And at least your team is in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I guess. You know, I'm one of those fans that cares more about teams that give approval to God or give glory to God than my state or city. And I pull for whatever team has a Christian quarterback or whatever sport it might be. If there's someone that will give God glory when they're winning a championship or winning the game, that's who I want to win. And I know local people go, are you crazy? You don't want those. But I say, no, I like the Philadelphia Eagles for a few years. I still like them. They're just a solid, they've got a solid core of Christians. And I know every team has Christian athletes and every sport has Christian athletes, but not everybody speaks up.
Amen. The Eagles have a lot of guys that speak boldly. Amen. I have a lot of similar opinions. Mahomes, I don't know what his faith is like. I just saw a picture of him, quarterback of Kansas City Chiefs. He's held a big sign, a big cross. And he says, you know, he lives, he definitely plays for his team, but he says his life is all about Jesus. And I thought, oh, wow, I didn't even know that guy was a professing Christian.
Interesting.
Yeah, I hope he is. I don't know. That might have been a Chiefs fan just trying to claim he's a believer. I don't know. Maybe it was a fatal shot, but I was like, wow, praise God. But hey, bro, there's so many wonderful things to talk about. You have so many wonderful things to say. And by the way, we just let our audience know, hey, Dave and his wonderful wife, very awesome gal too, worship leader, Roseanne, they were at the fellowship for a bit. before you guys moved, and we've missed you guys ever since, but it's great that we still get to fellowship with you guys.
Yeah, we fellowship over the phone and on social media, and we'll get back out there for a visit.
I think we saw you last year for a little bit, which was awesome. But hey, tell us a little bit about your latest book, Redefining Truth.
The most recent one, Redefining Truth, the subtitle kind of describes what the content is about: delusions of replacing God and calling evil good. And you know that's right up your alley, Pastor Joe. You talk about evil being called good. This is the culture we're living in today. Right. It's a warning, though. In Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. It is a warning, and that's what we're seeing in our country. It's not just a subtle deception. There's blasphemy. There's people that are coming out against God. They're doing the most perverted things and openly proud. And you know, pride, that's an issue, I think, with our Heavenly Father.
Absolutely.
But this is what we're dealing with. So a lot of the book kind of touches on the idea of moral relativism, which has invaded not only the culture in the United States, but the American church. Barna, Pew, Gallup, and so many have done polls. And I know you can take some polls with a grain of salt, but a lot of polls are kind of accurate on people's faith and what people believe. And boy, has Christianity been watered down. And we have opened the door to full-on rebellion in our churches. That's what we have to deal with.
Amen.
We can look at Hollywood and point the finger at Hollywood or politicians or those in public schools or whatever. But we've got to understand it's the lack of influence of Christianity that is one of the biggest reasons for the decline of morality in America.
Right. We've been called to be salt and light in the world. And obviously, if you're going to call evil good and get evil, you have to deceive people through moral relativism so they can feel justified in promoting evil as good. And Chad has a great quote from one of your books that I thought was awesome along these lines.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. Tony gave me a copy of your book. We actually sell it here at Blessed Hope Chapel. But I saw this quote and I was like, wow, some of those numbers I was even surprised by. You wrote in chapter 7, you said, just 59% of practicing Christians believe moral truth is absolute. Now, this is according to Barna Research. 76% of Christians agree that the best way to find yourself is by looking within yourself.
Wow.
40% of practicing Christians agree that any kind of sexual expression between two consenting adults is acceptable. 67% of Christians agree that the highest goal of life is to enjoy it as much as possible. This further proves the degree to which Americans pledge allegiance to the morality of self-fulfillment, a new moral code that has all but replaced Christianity as the culture's moral norm. I thought that was some great insight, bro.
Well, bless Absolutely. You guys for quoting the book, A Redefining Truth. I do want to say, as you know, Pastor Joe, and all you guys know, there are some strong delusions that we're seeing in America. One is, of course, the religion of environmentalism, which seems to become a new world religion, right?
Yeah.
It's climate change. But the other one is the religion of sex. And it's all about fulfillment, self-fulfillment, whatever feels good. And so you've got to just destroy the boundary lines and the past, you know, morality to get to where we are today. And we have been so dumbed down as a country, but also as a church. And that's why we're seeing the weakness of Christianity is showing instead of our strength.
No, yes, absolutely, bro. And you're seeing it everything's worshipped. I just did a message last night on idolatry. And a lot of Christians believe, well, at least we're, you know, a Christian nation, which we really aren't. And we don't worship idols like the Hindus. And, I was like, wait a minute, man. The Bible says, you know, there'll be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God in the last days. That's loving pleasure before God is idolatry.
Exactly.
Men will be lovers of self. And I often joke about, not really joke, but make the illustration that a lot of people shave their God self, you know. A lot of people park their God in their car or their garage, your car. And the scriptures warn in Colossians 3, it talks about idolatry. It talks about greed, which is idolatry, the love of wealth, materialism, power. So I'm glad you're hitting on a lot of the idols of our age, bro. And what are some of the main idols you see standing out today that are plaguing the church?
Well, the church is made up of human beings who are, in our country, Americans, and sometimes there's not much of a dividing line. We tend to look more like the world than, you know, obviously than the world looks like Christians. But I see entertainment as one of the biggest idols, whether that be your celebrity, star, actor, or actress, or, you know, TV show or whatever it might be. Or we were just talking about sports earlier. A lot of people have major issues with idolatry when it comes to their athletes or sports teams.
Absolutely,
and
bro.
We will worship for 6 hours at the throne of the television in our living room on a Sunday, but can't wait to get out of church after just an hour. That's a problem in the United States of entertainment. That's a problem in America because we have bowed down to so many other idols, like you said. I would like to share one thing that opened my eyes when I was writing that book, Redefining Truth. Nat Geo, I don't know if you can hear me okay.
Yes,
you're good.
I'm hearing a little echo in my ear here, but National Geographic, they came out, this was, I think, in 2016. It said there's a picture of a woman and her son, but they're holding pictures of themselves. They're both transitioning to the opposite sex, right? So Nat Geo is a lot of media outlets and magazines and publications are promoting this new thing called you can reassign your sex and all that. They're showing this picture and they put it on Facebook. It had, at the time, it had 388,000 likes. I not only look at what's being promoted out there, I look at how people are reacting. And Christians need to know how to respond to some of these things. I just want to read the caption under this picture. It says, sometimes our children lead the way. Corey, who is 14, socially transitioned from boy to girl in the past few years. She, by the way, it's a he, but they're calling her she, gave her mom, Erica, right, the courage to begin her own transition from female to male. They are moving in opposite directions, but toward their true selves. What a lie.
Wow.
National Geographic and most other publications would be on board by saying, these two individual human beings who we know created in the image of God, male and female, they were created by him. They're moving toward their true selves. So wait a minute. So before that, they weren't themselves. They were someone else. In other words, God made a mistake if there is a God. So what, as you know, Pastor Joe and Tony and Chad, they've removed the idea of God as creator. Once you remove the foundations, creation and how we're created, then you remove the Bible and truth. That's what brings us to where we are today. There's a really interesting scripture, Psalm 11:3, I think it says. It says, if the righteous are destroyed, if the righteous are destroyed?
Yeah, how should the if foundation destroyed, how shall the righteous stand?
That's it. If the foundations are destroyed, what shall the righteous do? So that is an eye-opening scripture. You remove the foundations.
Absolutely, bro.
Of God, biblical morality, of truth, of absolutes. And this is where we are today.
Yeah, amen, bro. You know, it's interesting. A lot of what you're talking about with the bending of genderism and transgender and obliterating our physical gender. We have, you know, XX and XY chromosomes. We're male and female. The science is there. It's obvious. But a lot of it's based in Satanism. And in Gnosticism, Aleister Crowley, he talked a lot about do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. And that doing what thou wilt was discovering your true self, your true will. It didn't have to comport with reality because guess what? You know, you can make your own reality. And it's interesting because in the Gospel of Thomas, one of the Gnostic Gospels, and they were the Antichrist movement that was against true Christianity in the first century. You have, Peter saying, you know, how can Mary get into the kingdom? You know, she's a woman. And, you know, Jesus said, we'll make her male. And there's a lot of the Gnostic texts that talk about denying the reality of how God made us. We know in Genesis chapter 2, God made them male and female, and he made, and everything he made was good. But Gnosticism hated the God of the Bible, hated the creator, and Satan's always been about trying to twist who we are and make us into his image rather than the image of God. So you're spot on, bro.
Yeah, and as we go through scripture, we can see if the people of Israel, the children of Israel, his chosen, are seeing his presence, you know, as you know, and the pillar of cloud and the the fire, and they hear his Moses heard his voice and spoke to God and gave the Ten Commandments, and God's presence went with him. He did miracles, right?
Amen.
And they still rebelled and fell away. Pastor Joe, you'll appreciate this. I was talking to Tony a couple of days ago about that series of scriptures, how the generation, Joshua's generation, was walking with the Lord, right? And here they were obedient. They were doing what God commanded them to do. And in Judges, chapter 2, verse 7, it says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works which the Lord had done for Israel. And praise then God. Joshua died. Verse 10.
Ah, it gets sad, though.
One of the saddest verses in Scripture. But I'm going to make a point here. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. And I draw a parallel. I did this in a recent talk I did. I draw a parallel from that example of Israel to America and how we were founded. And within a generation or a couple generations, we've got people that do not follow God and who are following after many other gods. And it's just sad. It doesn't take much time to fall away, does it?
Right. Amen. And that fits with what you were saying about relativism, because you continue to read Judges, as you know, it says it characterizes that age as being a time when everybody did what was right in their own eyes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it ends the book that way. There it is. What a sobering thought to end the book with, huh?
Yes.
Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. What, talk about chaos, but isn't that what we're seeing in American culture?
That's right, anarchy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, and maybe you can speak a little bit to this, you know, when it comes to our culture, and sadly, as you mentioned before, and as we've been talking about, this seeps in deceptively into the church, this idea that we need to be welcoming and inclusive. And maybe you can speak a little bit about the difference between being welcoming and maybe being inclusive.
Thank you for bringing that up, Chad. That was one of the chapters that did not make the final cut in my book, Redefining Truth. Because one of the chapters was, I was just going to go through and define words. What we're seeing today is the left, and who you can put categories, the atheists and the agnostics and the secular progressives and, you know, liberals, you know, they're all redefining words. Now, words have new meanings. We know this is going on in culture, and I was going to define these words according to, like, go back to Webster's 1828, which is a phenomenal dictionary. And then how they're redefined today. Words like inclusive, diversity, tolerance has been flipped on its ears. You know, welcoming. There's churches now waving the rainbow flag. What does that mean? Does that mean some churches do not allow a gay or a lesbian or a thief or a former murderer, whatever, someone that got out of prison? Are we not going to let them in our church doors? No, not at all. But that is what they're painting. That's the picture they're painting as Christians, as hateful, intolerant, bigoted. They're redefining all kinds of words, and they're using them against us. That's why I try to encourage people to ask them, what do you mean by dot, dot, dot? In this case, what do you mean by welcoming? What do you mean by intolerant? And one of a great question you can ask a person in that situation, if they're attacking you as a Christian, ask them, would you consider yourself to be a tolerant person? Because 99 out of 100 are going to say yes. And then you can just say, well, didn't you just call me judgmental or intolerant or whatever? But yeah, Chad, they are redefining words right in front of our eyes. So we've got to keep up with this, not conform, but we've got to go back and reset the playing field, because they're moving the goalposts, so to speak, with words.
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting. And one of the things we talk about a lot, and one of the things we were mentioning with some of the stuff we were dealing with on Facebook, is that it seems as though nobody knows what a false dilemma is. No one knows what it is, the either or fallacy is, because one of the things obviously we do as a ministry, and obviously you've been doing it as a ministry, I think most of your book is doing it, and that's exposing the fruitless deeds of darkness. And I think that people believe that if you expose the fruitless deeds of darkness or warn against these sins, that you can't pray for the person you're warning warning that you can't love the person.
Yeah, it's a false dichotomy.
And it's a false dichotomy, you know? So I think that we both could agree on that having a place in falsity when people bringing that towards ministry.
Hey, Brother Dave, if you could address really quickly as well, the oxymoron, because you deal with that, the oxymoron of the Christian left. Christian left.
Oh my goodness. How do you sum this up? Yeah, I've been writing.
Take your time, bro.
I think that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons I started blogging before I wrote my first book. I was seeing this pattern in the church of this, I guess, this division, maybe not a pattern. No, it is a pattern, because there are too many believers that don't have that foundation we were talking about earlier. So they're conforming to the world. It's very subtle. The enemy can be very subtle. And so they were grabbing these ideas of culture and that aren't biblical, but they were going with them because they were either they sound good maybe on surface, or they think, okay, well, yeah, I want to be loving. So again, the redefining words. But what we see in the church, wolves got in. I mean, Jude warns about this, and Paul warns about this, and Jesus warned about
absolutely
this. And we've got guys coming to the church that are very deceptive. Some are really deceiving people. There are deceivers, and then there are those who are being deceived. Well, the deceivers, I would call liberalism, they're calling it like the Christian left. It's liberalism. It's not political liberalism, but they're invading the church and calling themselves Christian, and that is apostasy. So it is an oxymoron, because you can, it's like, let's take something unbiblical and try to mix it with something that is biblical. It cannot be done, but these are some of the battles we have to fight as believers, and we've got to defend the truth. And as you guys do that, I know that's what your ministry is about. It's a good, we're fighting the good fight of faith. We've got to continue to do that. The warnings, I think of Revelation 2 and 3, the warnings, most of those churches got rebuked. 5 out of 7
that's
got
right
rebuked. It doesn't mean Jesus didn't love them. So when we rebuke someone, when we're exposing the darkness, it doesn't mean we don't love them. We are warning them. And I know you probably might think this too, but America resembles, I think, the Church of Laodicea.
Very much so.
Lukewarm church.
Sure.
And Jesus is knocking on the door, standing outside knocking, hey, do you hear my voice? Open the door. That's not an evangelical verse. I know it's used that way a lot to evangelize, share the gospel, but that is written to Christians. Yeah. So I know I'm preaching to the choir here, guys.
No, but hey, we have a great audience, man, and they're with us, man. They love the truth. And so this is good. This is music to their ears, because they love truth. You know, it's interesting, because I was dealing with an oxymoron yesterday, because it's like you can't have a Christian pedophile, a Christian rapist, a Christian drunk, a Christian serial killer. But I went to a website, and I was working on my message on idolatry, which I did yesterday, and there was a website called The Born Again Witch. And you talk about oxymoron, you know, and it's just crazy, because the Lord, you know, he says, when you come in the land, which I'm going to give you, you have to learn to follow the practices of those nations. He lists 9 magical, you know, witchcraft abominations, and he doesn't want them to be conformed to that. You're talking about how, yeah, the church is being conformed, just like Israel was to the idolatry of the age. And I looked at that website, bro, and I read her blogs, some of her blogs, and my heart just sunk, bro. And I'm not going to get all into it. I quoted her at length, because she went to Bethel. You know, in Northern California, where
that
the biggest biggest revival is going on earth. And she went there with her witch's coven, and she received prophecies. And this isn't the biblical type prophecy, man. These are fortune telling. I mean, they're literally these men and women that'll stand over people, put hands on them, and tell them their future. And she went in there to wonder if she should run from being a witch. You know, and she heard the opposite. She heard prophecy after prophecy about how God is so happy about her new spiritual journey and her new spiritual community. Well, she's with a coven. She goes, wow, this is music to my ears. This was great. And, you know, she just was lapping it up, and she's writing like chants for her witchcraft coven that are getting used everywhere now. And she said, but the prophets told me at Bethel, you know, they confirmed, they said, you're writing music, aren't you? We see this. And you know, God wants to use this music as you bless unbelievers that worship to your music. you know? And I'm like, oh, it gets way uglier than that. One of her, you know, witch friends was wearing a pentagram, and she said they didn't even notice I was wearing a pentagram, you know, and they were just affirming us. And but you, it's interesting because you said five out of the seven churches in Revelation, and you're correct, they're told to repent. These prophecies that come out of Bethel, it's a lot like the false prophets in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. They're constantly not calling for repentance, but affirming idolatry and wickedness.
Wow. And that confuses people. People that are not strong in the truth and don't have a good biblical background, or they don't, they, maybe the newer believers especially, it really is somewhat confusing to them because they're seeing things and there seems to be some contradictions and, oh, it's such a mess. And I have a question about them, though. Did Bethel know, did they tell them that they were witches, or did they just show up and...
Well, here's the thing. They went in, she went first with a friend, and then she got all these positive prophecies. She writes them down. She blogs about them on the Born Again Witch. And then she went back a couple other times with her coven. And they don't say, hey, we're witches. But what they do is they receive all these prophecies, and they feel whatever they feel is God communicating through these Bethel prophets, affirming their witchcraft, and they're impressing upon them, go ahead and do what you do. So they feel that these women are like mediums and just conduits for the goddess, you know? And she says at the end of one of her blogs that it was the goddess calling me home, you know, confirming that it was a magical word spoken through these prophetesses. So but the point is, they're giving false prophecies. Obviously, if God was speaking through them, he'd be rebuking these gals saying, hey, I love you, you know, and if you want to be my daughters, you need to be born again. You repent, you know, you get right, you know, and so forth. But that wasn't the message they're hearing. The point is, you know, I mentioned I'd rather have Isaiah or Jeremiah prophesy over me than these folks, you know, because that's what we're seeing in the when Isaiah, these guys are dealing with calling good evil and evil God, evil good. Mm-hmm. You were dealing with false prophets reinforcing these ideas. And this kind of is kind of what you're talking about. You have all these false teachers in the church reinforcing these ideas, using the rainbow and everything else. So you're right on, bro.
You know,
well, Pastor Joe, aren't you being a little judgmental? After all, these sound like good witches.
Exactly, bro. I'm sure we'll hear that.
You know, Dave, we have about maybe a minute and a half here, and I'd love for you, since you wrote Redefining Truth, and you're trying to probably at least minister somewhat and wake up these guys that are maybe in the church that are following a false gospel, if you had a chance to share with them any sort of truth in a minute and a half, I'd love to hear what you would say to them.
Oh my good. You mean people that are in the church that have been deceived? Is that what you're saying?
You got it.
Or those that are deceivers?
The ones that are deceived.
Oh, the ones that are deceived. I would just say, brother and sister, you've got to go back to the Word of God. That's got to be your starting point.
Amen.
Got to throw everything else out. If you're reading any books, you throw away my book, open up the Word of God. Throw away this book by Joel Osteen. It doesn't matter whether you want your best life now or not, open up the Word of God. It doesn't matter what's the bestseller. It doesn't matter what trends might attract more people to your church. Go back to Jesus. Go back to the Word of God. Start with the Gospels. Go back through Genesis. Go Genesis 1 to 11. You've got to make that your foundation. I would strongly encourage them to... go if they have not been discipled, they don't understand the process of discipleship. That's one of the main things we need to do as Christians. Teaching the Word of God has to be held up as a top priority.
Amen.
Sharing the gospel and equipping the saints. Ephesians chapter 4. The problem is today we are not equipped for ministry, a lot of people. So I would encourage them to find a pastor or a church somewhere where you can be equipped for ministry, because we all have to go out in culture and face some of these things. There's a lot of spiritual warfare, and we have a job to do. It's the Great Commission, but we've got a lot of weak saints that really need the armor of God, but they also need to be equipped.
You know, amen. Praise the Lord, bro. And I'm excited because we're going to have Dave back for one more episode, and on this episode, we're going to touch on the topic of abortion. So I can't wait to have you. Praise the Lord.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.